Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And welcome back to the Epstein Chronicles. When you talk about Jeffrey Epstein and men behind the curtain, people who supported him, people who helped him get to the point where he was, you have to start with Les Wexner. This is a man who had a lot of power, a lot of ability to maneuver, and a lot of money to make things fall in a manner of his choosing. And he certainly did that for quite some time. This is a man who built an empire. And then that empire was used and manipulated by Jeffrey Epstein, at the very least, to abuse girls. All the while Les Wexner is sitting there and acting like he has no idea about anything that went down, which we know, according to the survivors, is absolute BS. Just listen to Maria's story about what happened to her when she was in New Albany. Her experience with the Wexners. And it goes on and on and on and on. This is a man that somehow has avoided the real spotlight of this story. This is a man who should be directly in the middle of this story, but somehow, some way, has been able to avoid real scrutiny within the legacy media. Even when we have articles like the one we're going to talk about today, they just scratched the surface. There's not been a real deep dive into Les Wexner. Where are all of these outlets with all of their resources sending reporters to Columbus to be on assignment for 6, 8, 10 months to really break this story? We haven't seen that. And it's the same for every other person who has been accused. We have someone like Bill Richardson who is being credibly accused of taking part in Jeffrey Epstein's sexual abuse of Virginia Roberts, and yet he's still being called upon by the Biden administration to go and negotiate for Brittany Griner? You tell me how that's okay. Or how people are running around pulling up Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and putting them on this pedestal. Let me be very clear. Anyone who does that with people like Clinton or with Donald Trump, I am automatically suspect of their motivations, especially in this case. Because if you're not stuffing your biases here and your own wants from what this case is, then you're doing it a great disservice. Because people like Bill Clinton, people like Les Wexner, people like Bill Richardson, you don't think these are big enough names to move the needle? You know, again, everybody talks about names this and names that. And what I've come to believe is most of the people saying that, well, they only want the names of the people they dislike. The names that are out there already, that's not going to move the needle for us enough politically. We need more. And while that's fine and well, I'd love to have every single name exposed. How about we go after these people like Les Wexner, like Bill Clinton, like Glenn Dubin, like Bill Richardson? Start there and work our way down. But even like this article today, it just does not go deep enough. So let's dive into this article from the Daily Beast and let's see what they've come up with. Headline: The mysterious billionaire behind Jeffrey Epstein gets the documentary treatment. This article was authored by Marlo Stern. How did Jeffrey Epstein, the notorious child predator and sex trafficker, amass his vast wealth? Yes, the late money manager rubbed shoulders with everyone from Bill Gates and Bill Clinton to Prince Andrew and Donald Trump. But as the new Hulu docuseries, Victoria's Secret, Angels and Demons, which premieres July 14th, by the way, contends, one of the certified creep's biggest money sources was none other than billionaire Les Wexner, the Merlin of the Mall. This is all well-known knowledge to anyone who has been paying attention for 5 minutes. Les Wexner was a key component in Epstein's rise. Now, was he where Epstein got all of his money? No. We know that Epstein was in on the grift, right? We know that he was stealing on Wall Street. Of course, that's how he was making his money. So he was a criminal way before he even met Les Wexner as far as financially, but Wexner gave him the credibility that he needed to really make his move. Wexner, a slight man with elfin-like features, was hardly a paragon of posh, despite being the man behind retail behemoth L Brands, whose portfolio at one point included retailers The Limited, Abercrombie & Fitch, Express, Lane Bryant, Henry Bendel, Bath & Body Works, and Victoria's Secret. Wexner maintained a relatively low profile in his native Ohio, far from the prying lenses of the paparazzi. And now when you look back on that, you know, you say to yourself, well, what was he up to that he was trying to keep such a low profile? Hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein, you're up to something. And there's nobody that's going to convince me of anything different. That all seemed to change around the time Epstein entered his life in the mid-1980s. The 40-something Wexner dyed his hair and upgraded his wardrobe. His soirees were now attended by Epstein's roster of celebrity acquaintances. In 1985, Wexner graced the cover of New York Magazine, accompanied by the headline, The Bachelor Billionaire. And in 1989, according to a piece in the Washington Post, a diary entry of Wexner's, dated September 1st, 1989, read, I finally like myself. Oh, boo-hoo. Did little Lessie Wexner have some image problems? Probably. Little twerp. Never lifted a weight in his life. Probably has never done anything physical in his life. But runs around like he's king shit, right? A few weeks before Epstein died in his prison cell, while awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges, the New York Times published an eye-opening expose detailing Wexner's ties to Epstein. The report revealed, among other things, that Wexner was Epstein's only publicly known billionaire client, that Epstein had acquired his Manhattan townhouse, private jet, later dubbed the Lolita Express, and other properties from Wexner at a heavy discount. That Wexner allegedly waited 18 months to cut ties with Epstein after he was busted for child prostitution in 2006. Well, that's because Wexner was always Epstein's ace. And look, there's a lot of talk out there that these two dudes might have been involved romantically as well. I can't confirm that one way or the other, I don't know, but a lot of credible sources have said that. So, certainly something to keep in mind. If Wexner was enthralled by this guy, Lord knows why or how that could happen, but here we are. But if that's the case, then that could play a little bit of a role into how Epstein manipulated him. But my real guess is, Epstein worked up some sort of blackmail plot to get Wexner in on. And once you got that blackmail, or once you're involved in some sort of criminality with somebody, well, you're in it for good. Isn't that the case? It's like the mafia. If you want to join the mafia, you have to clip somebody. So now, you have skin in the game. And that an Oregon Attorney General's investigation said that Victoria's Secret had directly aided Epstein's legal defense in 2016, voluntarily providing intel against one of Epstein's accusers who had worked for Victoria's Secret. A statement from Wexner in the film claims that Wexner cut ties with Epstein in 2008 and was not aware of his abuses. Again, one of the most powerful, richest men in the world doesn't do any research into who he's working with, doesn't have his, you know, intelligence service buddies that protect him go and do the proper research? Or is it they knew exactly what Epstein was, and he was a key cog, a key piece in the operation that they wanted to run? After the second arrest, it became increasingly clear that Wexner was one of his biggest clients, and so much of Epstein's wealth came from the work he did for Wexner, says Matt Tiernauer, director of Victoria's Secret, Angels and Demons. Then, more troubling details emerged, including that he had power of attorney that gave him access to vast amounts of Wexner's wealth. And you know what's interesting to me about Wexner? He is the kind of guy that has no problem suing people, but you notice he hasn't sued anybody for what they have said about him and his relationship with Epstein. Sure doesn't want to go to court over this, huh? Doesn't want to get dragged into discovery, does he? And you would think if people were lying about him, like, you know, he says they were, and people were telling stories and none of this was true, that somebody would have gotten sued for defamation already. But that hasn't occurred, has it? Indeed. In a highly unusual move, Wexner, now 84, granted Epstein power of attorney in 1991 that the Times reported enabled Mr. Epstein to hire people, sign checks, buy and sell properties, and borrow money on Wexner's behalf, and that Epstein was granted full power and authority to do and perform every act necessary for him. Wexner also told Vanity Fair in 2003 that Epstein was very smart with a combination of excellent judgment and unusually high standards. Also, he is always a most loyal friend. Ah, gushing about your child molester buddy, are you there, old Leslie Wexner? This guy truly believes that he's avoided all sorts of flack here, all sorts of fallout. But the reality is, he hasn't. You know why, folks? Because we're just getting started. We are just getting started, at least here on this podcast. And guys like Les Wexner are directly in the crosshairs. When it comes to co-conspirators, people that should be brought in and put under oath, you have to put Les Wexner right at the top of that list. As Victoria's Secret, Angels and Demons reveals, Epstein was deeply entangled in Wexner's life, serving as trustee of his charitable foundation, going so far as pushing his mother out of it, and was even tasked with procuring a nanny for him following his marriage to Abigail Koppel. Imagine, yeah, I'm going to have Epstein, notorious child predator, find me a nanny. Imagine being the au pair that calls and gets that gig and has to deal with Epstein. Further, I wonder if any of those people, any of those au pairs or nannies that he was supposed to find, how many of them were abused by Epstein? Now, I don't know if they were, but it's a question we have to ask, right? Anyone who has come into this guy's orbit is someone who is potentially a victim. At one point, Epstein lived in a guest mansion adjacent to Wexner in New Albany, Ohio, a tiny town of Georgian-style homes that Wexner had designed to his specifications. Epstein had reportedly purchased the home from Wexner for $3.5 million. And in that home is where Maria Farmer, a young artist from New York, alleges she was assaulted by both Epstein and his accomplice Ghislaine Maxwell, the latter recently sentenced to 20 years behind bars for sex trafficking girls to Epstein. And we all know what Maria has had to say about what happened to her in New Albany at the hands of Les Wexner. We've all heard about the security agent, Bowie. You know, all of the things that she talked about and her experiences asserts that Farmer was imprisoned in a room in Epstein's New Albany home and was so frightened that she stacked furniture up against the door to prevent Epstein and Maxwell from entering the room. The film says she tried to report it to local police at the time, who had a relationship with the Wexner family since they basically ran the town, as well as the FBI, to no avail. And it's the truth. That's what Maria says. She called the police department. They told her, look, you know who runs things around here. Maria went to the FBI, no dice. NYPD, no dice. Nobody was willing to step up and stop these people. But now they'll all get up and wax poetic about how they've been the one to step up to stop Jeffrey Epstein. So tired of the BS.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Epstein is living next door to Wexner, and one of his most sinister crimes appears to take place behind the very dignified Georgian facade of this massive guest house, explains Tiernauer. That scene is very telling. It's almost like a David Lynch movie, where things are striving to be too perfect, and when you look more closely, you see that the grass is not greener, and in this case, bad things were happening with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell in this house that's been featured in Architectural Digest as this super luxurious mansion on the plains of Ohio. And that's how sick it all is. These people are still accepted in so-called polite society. They're still accepted at all of these soirees and functions. Because you know why? I said it once and I'll say it again. The only crime to the so-called elite is being poor. Epstein is also alleged to have exploited his ties to Wexner by posing as a recruiter for Victoria's Secret models. Cindy Fettes Fields, former CEO of Victoria's Secret Direct, says in the film, In the spring or summer of 1993, it was reported to Les that a man was going around New York City portraying himself as a recruiter for Victoria's Secret catalog models. It was Jeffrey Epstein, and Les said he would stop it. I don't believe the behavior stopped. I believe it continued. Wexner's lawyer claimed Wexner forbid Epstein from acting in such a fashion. Of course he did. And how are you going to counter that truth right there, right? How are you going to dispute that? Epstein's dead. Wexner's going to say, well, this is what I told him. So it's very hard to prove that. Alicia Arden, an actress who appeared on Baywatch and in Playboy, claims that the behavior did not stop. She says in an interview in the film that she met Epstein in 1997 at the Hotel Shutters in Santa Monica for what she thought was a Victoria's Secret audition, only to have him request that she pose in a bra and panties before groping her butt and attempting to give her $100. She alleges that she felt like a prostitute and that she then filed a sexual battery report against him. When Epstein died in 2019, he left behind an estimated $600 million fortune, only $215 million of which has been distributed to his survivors. And we know it's a lot more than that. We know that there's money offshore. We can't account for it, right? We can't prove it, but we certainly know that it's there. And the fact that Jeffrey Epstein's survivors only got a little chunk of this is always going to go down as one of the biggest black eyes of that weak-ass compensation fund. And following the Times piece about his ties to Epstein, Wexner came forward and, in a letter to Wexner Foundation, broke his relative silence about his Epstein ties by saying that the late sex criminal had misappropriated vast sums of money from him, totaling around $46 million. Funny how that only hits afterwards, right? After Epstein's dead, you know, the whole entire thing. Now you're going to expose the ties that you had with Epstein and how he was a scumbag after you supported him for all these years, after you were a co-conspirator with him for all these years. That's right. I said it. I think Les Wexner is a co-conspirator. Certainly my opinion, but that's where I'm at. Meanwhile, Sarah Ellison, a Washington Post reporter interviewed in Victoria's Secret, Angels and Demons, estimates that Wexner paid Epstein around $400 million over the course of their business relationship. Wexner is known as being litigious, and yet he won't pursue Epstein for stealing millions upon millions of dollars, asks Ellison in the film. To allow that level of betrayal, dishonesty to happen unpunished is entirely unexplained. Unless, of course, there was no theft. There was no stealing of money, which is what I speculate. This was always the plan. And again, folks, my speculation here. Just want to be clear about that. My guess is this was always the plan. If Epstein was ever nailed, Then Wexner could say, oh, he stole this money from me, giving Wexner the cover that he needed. But it didn't work out like that, did it? We're all on to you, you little elfin-looking MF-er. Tiernauer is still confused as to how Epstein, a former high school math teacher who was dismissed from Bear Stearns over finance violations and was then connected to Tower Financial Corp. Ponzi scheme, was able to gain the trust of Wexner to the point where he had power of attorney and control over large sums of his wealth. Well, a lot of that has to do with the people that put them into connection. You know, the people that were running this whole entire compromise scheme. Those are the people who connected all these folks. I think there are three great con men of the last 100 years. Roy Cohn, the subject of a previous film of mine, his mentee Donald Trump, and Epstein, offers Tiernauer. The con was so epic and went down right under everyone's nose. Well, there are a bunch of con artists that have been around since. Those three are certainly three of them, though, no doubt about it. We all know Roy Cohn was a straight-up criminal scumbag. He was always up to some scumbaggery. There's a cool documentary about Roy Cohn that's on HBO. I forget the name of it, but it was a really interesting watch. And if you're interested, obviously, in the Wexner aspect of this, or just the whole underlying ties that Epstein or Cohen had to all of this, you can definitely check that out and see, for a little bit of context anyway, who Roy Cohn was. But certainly a good documentary. As far as Les Wexner goes, look, folks, we've been beating on this drum for how long? And I'm going to continue to beat on this drum. What this dude was allegedly involved in and what happened with Maria is just completely unacceptable. And this man needs to be put under oath and he needs to be held accountable if it's found that he committed crimes. Because there certainly is enough evidence there, at the very least, to bring to a grand jury and have the grand jury indict him, financially or otherwise. It really just comes down to, once again, do the authorities have the backbone to go after all of these people like Les Wexner? That's the question. And unfortunately, at least up until this point, the answer has been a resounding no. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode. If you'd like to contact me, you can do that at bobbycapucci@protonmail.com. That's BobbyCapucci at protonmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at BobbyCapucci. The link that I discussed can be found in the description box. All right, folks, we'll be back with a little bit more.